So go to Matthew 16:13. Virginia, I'm going to go to Isaiah in a little while they're turning. Isaiah 14:12 and to Ezekiel 28:11. Isaiah 14:12 and Ezekiel 28:11. And yeah, that'll be good. Did you get it? Okay, I know you can do it anyway, but I just thought I'd get you ahead of the game. Okay, I think you're going to like this tonight. Matthew 16:13, you there? Okay, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah." That means son of Jonah, you know that. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven did. And I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here we see some keys to the kingdom. Keys open things. Keys open things. They open doors, they open safes, they open vehicles, they open gates. They open a lot of things. Keys open things. Now, in these particular verses, these keys are abilities. They are open avenues to be able to share the gospel. They're open avenues for truth to come through. And they are also open avenues for your authority. Mm-hmm. He opened so your authority could come in and permit or prohibit. You see that there. You guys understand that. And so you can always use those. But there are many keys. There are many keys to the kingdom. Every problem that exists has a key issue. Any problem that there is, there will be a key to open the truth for deliverance. God made it that way for us. There's an escape for everything. There's a way out for everything. And so as far as our purpose in the kingdom, there are keys that will help us do God's will. And so I've been talking to you about those things. We need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. We need to know what God wants. And we need to know how he's leading us in this moment. Now, I'm hot on his trail about this. I was telling Danny today at work, I said, "Man, I want to know exactly where we are." And so I'm working on it, and I want to give you some things. Now, we talked Sunday about Jesus, and we talked about the fact that who Jesus is. Of course, he's God, but we talked about the fact that he came as Son of Man. And also, if you want to get a real bigger picture of that, you could go to Hebrews 2 and see there's more about him doing that there. And we talked about who he is because we're trying to see who we are. We want to know who we are in this whole picture. We're just not old sinners saved by grace trying to trudge along on the earth until the rapture comes. That's not who we are. We're sons of God. And, of course, we've gone over and over and over about who we are in certain areas. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. You know, we've talked about that we're people with authority. We're people who can decree a thing and it'll happen.
Right.
Amen. But you got to read your Bible to find that out. But tonight, I believe that what I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about your place in eternity. And I believe that this will help you know what Father has on his mind. And also, it'll sort of touch on how we know he's leading us. He that hath an ear, let him hear, okay? Just walk with me through this. This is probably not something that I've talked about to you, probably some of you in the whole entire time you've been here. I haven't talked about this, but I'm going to tonight. And I'm excited about it. Someone's trying to call me. Let's see who it is. It's a telemarketer. Okay. Hello. We're having church. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, something that I want to say to you And of course, we're going to look in how God leads us on, in a deeper level. So just go with me on this level tonight, okay? We'll get on into that. Satan, if he can change your, get your focus off God and his plans, he can diminish your strength. You agree with that? So we need to get our focus on God, what's going on with God, and how, what he wants, how he's moving with us. So I'm basing this teaching on that. You don't have to turn here. You know it. You can if you want to, but I'm going to read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that scripture. Now, I'm going to read it to you again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time, 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 time. Okay? Now, if you understand the word, what I'm trying to tell you is that between those two scriptures, 1 and 2, there was a lot of time. If you're going to understand the scripture, you have to understand that, the Bible is, it's manifold. Yes. It's, if you read one scripture, it'll do this. Yeah. And it'll have all sorts of different, see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It'll just, it'll be like that. It'll mean this, and then it'll show you this, and then it'll be like this, and it'll show you this, and because that's how our God is. Okay. So, between verses 1 and 2, there was time. Now, how do I know that? If I read that, how would I know that? Because I read the rest of the Bible. You have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. You don't use something else to interpret it. The Scripture has everything you need. We were just talking about that. It has everything you need, so you take Scripture and you interpret Scripture. You don't run out and you, of course, commentaries are good, but the Scripture will tell you what you need to know. So let me just show you this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was, here's time, 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 and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Without form and void is, in Hebrew, tovu vabohu. Okay? Tovu vabohu. It was a mess. It was dark. It's like when you clean your whole house and it looks beautiful, and then you open the door to your teenager's room. And boom. Deb's blowing up here. Boom. That's right. So, but it's worse than that. It was destroyed. It was dark. It looked like some of those old Mad Max movies. Remember? Chaos. Exactly. So God created this earth, but then it became dark. And this is what I need you to understand. God occupies the future and the past. And he gives his prophets glimpses into both past and future. And you can see that with Ezekiel. You can see it with Isaiah. You can see it with Jeremiah. You certainly can see it with John the Revelator. Okay? So he is showing them things. Another thing that I want you to understand very clearly is that the presence of the Lord is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. Now, why is that? Well, am I saying God is as mean as he is good? No, no, no. I'm saying that that goodness is light, and light pushes out darkness. Yeah. It's an exterminator of darkness. We came in here, it was dark, we flip on the lights, all the darkness left. Right. It's that easy to understand, church. It's that easy. So what we have then is we have tovu vabohu. Now, go to Jeremiah 4:23, and I'm going to show you what's going on here. This is God. You know, Jeremiah has prophesied the future, even things that are happening this day. You know that. You've read Jeremiah. You understand that he prophesied way up through, let's call it this, through Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Jeremiah prophesied, Ezekiel prophesied, Isaiah prophesied. All these things go together. And they were about things that happened in biblical times, but they also have things that happened, are happening now. Okay. All right. So, I just love Lynn Hammond. She actually saw in the book of Esther a prophecy about what happened with the Nazis in that book. How the gallows, remember? It's actually a prophecy of what happened in what, the 40s? 1949, something like that. The what? The Nuremberg Trials. Okay. So, I mean, so you can see that this book is so full of what God wants to deliver to you. Now, so Jeremiah 4:23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. Okay? Did you see that? It was without form and void. So it was what? Tohu vabohu. Same words there. Okay? So something had to have happened to make the presence of the Lord exterminate the evil. Something had to happen. He's looking back through the corridors of time. Jeremiah is seeing this. He's writing this. Now go to Isaiah 14:12. You getting this? You walking with me? Okay. This must be the thinking bitch tonight. Isaiah 14:12. Praise God. Okay, here we go. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken those nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So what we see here is we see a rebellion in heaven. God made Lucifer. He was an archangel. That's big stuff. Lucifer got proud. He decided that he would be in charge. You see all those I wills? I will do this. I will ascend. I will do that. I will. Dangerous talk. To all of us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm going to leave that alone. So, God made the archangel. Lucifer made the devil.
Oh, wow. Okay.
God didn't make the devil.
Right.
Lucifer turned himself into Satan. Okay. God always has the last word. Ha, ha, ha. Now, Ezekiel 28:11. Praise the Lord. He jumped out of authority. He said he should be the one. God shouldn't be the one. He should be the one. As you can use this on your kids, you know. He said, quit acting like the devil. I'm in charge of you. Yeah, you see it in the church. You see it everywhere. I think I'm supposed to be the pastor, so. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Okay, Ezekiel 28:11. Now, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been at Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, thy workmanship of thy tabrets, that's drums, and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in that day you were created. Lucifer had built-in musical system. He was glorious. He was bright and brilliant and huge. It was beautiful, son of the morning. And he just rang out with music. That's what he uses in the earth today. He was the head musician. And he had all this going on for him. And he was in charge of earth. He had in charge of this. That wasn't good enough for him. He said, I will ascend. Okay? All right. Now, so, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, that's the slanderous lies. He began to lie. Okay? They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness, and I will cast you to the ground, and I will lay you before kings, and they will behold you. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I will break forth a fire from in the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, remember, these verses can mean several things. Some people say this is about a man. Some people say it's about Satan, depending on the commentary. I say it's about both. I say it actually happened in history. This is just my thoughts. You don't have to agree with me. We're still going to go to heaven together. It'll be all right. If you don't believe what I'm teaching, it'll be all right. You know, you come back when I'm preaching on faith, you'll be all right. It'll be all right. But I'm just telling you what I see here and what most of the people that raised me do believe. Now, I know you're going to say, well, it said the people. Well, there was a pre-Adamic race. They were not mankind like us. But they resembled us. Some of y'all are going, what? What? The dinosaurs were here. I don't believe the dinosaurs left at Noah. I think they were already gone. Because science says that it appears when they dig them up that they all froze at the same time. That they were even, you know, they might have just been eating. And they found just the food. And it looked, everyone has said that it's like they froze all at the same time. And I think that's probably true. I don't know for sure, but I think that's probably true. I do believe that there is a pre-Adamic race. It took me a long time to believe this. But when I began to look at the scriptures, I believe there was. And I believe that it all had to be done away with, and then God had to start over. Now, I don't think it was monkeys. Some of our fathers in the Lord think it's Neanderthal-type people. I don't know that. All I know is they walked on two legs and they were something like us, but they weren't us. Well, I mean, why would you think that's unusual? Have you read the things that God created and that are in heaven? There's some strange looking things in heaven. The angels are like 50 times taller than you. They're cool. And then there's these creatures with eyes all over them and all kinds of things. So, you know, there could very well have been some. And like I said, if you don't believe it, it's okay. I'll still prove my point to you, though. Okay, so I say that this is about the devil. So everything we just read between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was time and this all happened. And you know, when you look back, what does the Bible say? A day, 1,000 years. So when God was creating, we don't know that it was 24 hours that he was talking about. In heaven, you're not going to be looking at a clock. Yeah, everybody, yeah, glory to God. We're not going to be looking at you. You won't be late to a thing.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here's the point that I'm trying to get to. There was an earth. It was ruled by Lucifer. To put this lightly, he got too big for his britches.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into all that he was. Just pride came before the fall. It's a pride issue. Okay, so he fell. All the pre-Adamic race was destroyed along with him. Now, the point is he would no longer be in charge.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's not gone yet.
Yeah.
But he's not in charge.
Yeah.
Remember what Jeremiah say, yet I will not make a full end.
Yeah.
So God said, oh, you know, just like the flood. We're starting over. Well, that wasn't the first time. So, what we see happening then is we see that we get to Genesis 1:27. And we see where mankind, men and women, are put in charge. And it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is verse 26. Now, okay, now he's making someone in his likeness.
Okay.
Let us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. we're going to make someone now in our likeness. Not going to be an angel. We already had trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be this other race.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we'll know what all that's about.
Right.
Listen, before I finish this off, I've got 10 more sentences. One of the most dangerous things you can do is start questioning what you don't understand.
Yeah.
Don't question it. Just go, well, I don't know about that, but the Lord will show me.
Yeah.
But don't question it so far that you back so far up that you get further away from the truth than ever.
Yeah.
So if you're going, I heard this a lot of times. I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'm waiting, Lord, but you'll show me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do that. I remember Keith Moore said that he went to a meeting and he said they all got together. He says, this is why you have to understand as a pastor why I'm not real thrilled about the home meetings all the time. Mm-hmm. I actually was the cell pastor for John Holler. That's what I did. But we had to keep everything. We had to keep everything we were doing because people get together and they say, let's look at this scripture. And then they go around the room and each person has a different view of it and it pushes everybody else further away. Well, I think it's this and I think it's that. Do you have a right to think that? Yes. But you also have a right to come into the truth. It would be better to go Bible and listen to teachers and stay on some structured notes. And then you decide. You have the right to believe whatever you want to. God gave you a free will. But the worst thing you could do, God told Keith Moore, he said, well, how'd y'all do at the meeting? And Keith is like, okay. He says, well, do you want to understand that verse? And he said, well, yes, Lord, I do. And the Lord said, well, you're further away from it than you ever were.
Wow.
Because he went and discussed it with 13 other people who just went all over the place.
Yeah.
And words are so important.
Yeah.
So I don't expect you to eat everything I say, but I challenge you then to go and study yourselves. That's the point. Okay, so I just want to say that. Now, so God created man in his image. He created him, male and female, created he them. Now, I want you to listen to this as we begin to close. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Replenish. Okay? and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that creeps. So you have authority over creeps. Now, replenish. I looked it up. Refill, restock, reload, and replace. It didn't say make plenty. It didn't say plenish. Is that even a word, teacher? It didn't say that. It said replenish. So having said everything I said, I'm just proving to you your purpose. You were made and created as a son of God to take dominion and have authority and multiply and increase and do good things in God. The first one didn't work. The second one didn't work. But the Son of the Living God came along and He paid for the crimes. He paid for your sins. He paid for everything, brought you in as sons, and you have authority and purpose in this earth and throughout eternity. You will rule for eternity. In the coming ages, the body of Christ, the glorified ones, are the selected ones who will rule and reign over the universe. I'm so glad I got in. Jana, you glad you got in? I'm just so glad that I got in. For, you know, this age is coming to a close. And when it does, I believe in the rapture of the church myself. And I believe that it's pre-tribulation. And I have scripture to prove that. Well, we're going to talk about that pretty soon, too. You can see it in Thessalonians. And you can see it if you look at some scriptures. You can see it in other places. Yeah. And so you can see that there is a catching away of the church. But, you know, there's going to be people left here during the tribulation. And then Jesus is going to come back after 7 years, after we've been eating dinner with Him for 7 years. Yeehaw! Oh, we're going to have something good, I think. Anyway, so the marriage supper of the Lamb, so it probably won't seem very long because of time, right? But here, the Bible says it'll seem shorter for the elect's sake. So the people that now are going to get saved, and for the Jewish people, of course, and then Jesus will actually, He's going to come get us on His horse. Yeah. When He comes back, He's going to touch His feet down in Jerusalem. Okay? That's when the Battle of Armageddon happens. Y'all understand that? That's when right when we leave here will be World War III. That's what I believe. You check it out and see what you think. But I believe that it'll be World War III. That will be when the one world system, the beast, will take over. The thing they're trying to push through now that they're not going to get, because we have to bring in the souls. That will all happen. But when we leave here, the devil will be chained up for 1,000 years, and we're going to start ruling and reigning. You know, and people are going to get saved, but people aren't going to be like us, and they're going to say, there goes a glorified one. Oh, look at there. There's a glorified one. There's Mary Ellen. She's a glorified one. She is, I believe she's governor over whatever it is you like. I know Jerry Savelle says he's going to be governor of Hawaii. So I'm going to be governor over the Caribbean, I'm sure. But, you know, wherever Jesus assigns us, heaven and earth will come together, and New Jerusalem will sit on top of Old Jerusalem, and we'll just be beaming up and beaming down and doing God's business and moving all around and enjoying our home in both places. Yes. You always wanted to have two homes? Well, get ready. Yeah. Glory to God. Now this is all what I believe. This is the way that I have worked myself through the scriptures and believe I have revelation on it. But I want you to understand that You have a purpose in this great parenthesis. That people for ages and ages wish they could have had. You know, people say, oh, I wish I would have been born when Jesus was born on the earth. No. I'm glad to be born now. And I'm glad I was born after Jesus was resurrected. And that I could receive him as Lord on this side. And that I could be filled with the Holy Spirit and do something for God. And so, don't think of your purpose as, you know, we have a few short years and so we better win everybody. Your purpose is so much more grander and glorious than that. But sometimes we act like heaven's just a floaty place and there's nothing to do. Man, I'm telling you, he owns the cattle on thousands and thousands of hills. I'm talking about me, and you can go on a roundup every day if we want to. When I was a kid, I loved to round up cattle. We'd get on our horses and go help the rancher. And I'm just telling you, you will have plenty of time to rule and reign and do what you want to do. God is going to be good. But I want you to see your purpose. Right now, you have authority. You have authority right now. And if you ever needed to be bold, it's right now. You need to be bold right now. We have to stand against things that are not the truth. We have to do it right now. We have to tell people about Jesus right now. We have to pray for the sick and watch miracles happen. And they're happening amongst us. People are getting healed. Miracles are happening all the time. You heard the testimonies already coming forth of different things going on. I'm telling you, there's so many more testimonies that are going to come out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our Aaliyah seed is now expanding to two pastor friends of ours have asked to for information. Now they want to do it at their churches. Our Constitution class is now going to expand to a church. We helped someone in North Carolina. They want to do it now. So see, just being out there and fellowshipping with people and just giving them one little thing. They'll go, you know what? I want to do that. Well, I want to see that. And so you don't know, you know, I mean, if you say, well, we're just this little 100 to 150 people. No, we're not. We are kings and priests of the Most High God. And just these seeds that we plant everywhere we go can turn into millions and millions of souls. And for every person that we brought home, you know, we were fulfilling prophecy by bringing the Ukrainian Jews home. And I'm telling you this, for every one of those that we brought home, we will have a hundredfold return on souls coming into the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, we're glad you were with us tonight. We know you're all well and healed. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.